The Big Scottish Football Podcast.
Welcome to episode 158 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast with myself, Gabriel Antoniazzi, standing in for Stephen Mill today, and of course, the man himself, Gordon Dalziel, Raith Rovers legend.
Yeah, I'm looking at you and I thought Stephen Mill's lost some weight, by the way, and I would know the reason why, because you're never out that toilet. Apparently, you're near 20. You're talking about 158 podcasts?
Uh-huh.
How many shits are you on for yesterday?
Not far off that. It's been a tough weekend for me. We were at Hampden yesterday and you know I was absent for
a few moments. Mate, you're famous for a run to the toilet, aren't you?
It's not handy when you work in the radio, you know?
I know, exactly. But
it's just sensitive, you know?
You actually come in here and I hope nobody's sitting having their tea or whatever at this moment in time, but you come in and say that's your 19th of...
Across the weekend.
Across the weekend. Mm-hmm. That's some toilet roll, mate.
That's it. Baby wipes. That's the trick.
Is it baby wipes?
Baby wipes.
I know what I'm getting for Christmas.
I think you need to look at your diet, Gabs. I really do think you need to look at your diet.
That was a bug across the weekend. Yeah. I got a bug.
Mate, hold on, stop. I was in Germany with you for the Euros and you were constantly...
That's because we were drinking the German beer.
Oh, so, right, okay, so you went beer, bug...
Beer, bug...
Hold on. Is it true, and tell everybody here, is it true that you were in a taxi...
This is true.
And a foreign...
You were on the show. Gordon outed me. I was on... You know what it was? It was the last time Celtic played well. It was Bayern Munich away.
Yeah.
And...
This is brilliant.
It was actually my birthday the night before, right?
So... Right. Oh, here we go. You're going.
I actually managed to... I don't like my birthday, anything like that. But I was with some esteemed colleagues from other broadcasters and they said, let's go out. We were back in Munich because obviously we'd been there for the Euros. We had a great laugh. We're like, we'll go to some of the places we'd gone in Euros. So out until 4 a.m. drinking a German beer.
The German beer gets a lot of...
It's strong, mate. So anyway, in a taxi on the way home that night, I had to pull over to be sick because I'd had too much German beer. Then the next day, I'm at the press conference. The first of all, it's Vincent Kompany. We're at Sabanerstrasse, Bayern Munich, state-of-the-art complex. We go to leave and some of my colleagues said, do you want a lift? They were renting a car over there. And usually I get my own taxi. But I thought, you know what? I'll get a lift. I don't have to faff about with expenses. I'll get a lift. They didn't give me time to do usually. You know, I've usually got my safety toilet. So I thought, you know what? I'll just risk it in that motor for 5 minutes. And I had to just stop at a red light, run out straight into a kebab shop in the middle of Germany. In there.
And did they wait for you or leave you?
No. Because we were on a 3-lane road. I was like, I just need to get out. I need to get out. I'll meet you at the stadium. And I had to get an Uber from there to the Allianz Arena for the Celtic presser. And you know what the worst thing is? I was then on the show, you know, after we'd spoken to Rogers, and someone that was in that car had text Gordon's story straight away and he called me out on the show. My mum was watching, my girlfriend watching, they're all like, are you okay? What happened?
Do you know what, Gabs? It's definitely a gluten intolerance, I would say.
100%.
It's IBS, irritable bowel syndrome.
Okay.
So have you got to watch your diet?
Yeah. So that's why I look like this.
Right, so you would struggle, because Steve and I always talk about food early on. We love a Greg's soup where I dipped in sausage roll. That's a Monday morning one, John.
I thought we'd ask some questions, because, you know, Gabs is new to the show. We need to ask him some questions, get to know Gabs a little bit better, you know? Mm-hmm.
Well, we do know he shits a lot.
Right, so just a couple of questions to establish you on the show, Gabs. What is your favourite soup?
That's a great question. I would say standard would be cream of tomato. Not tomato and basil, it'll have to be cream of tomato.
Right, okay. Have you tried Greg's?
I've never tried soup from Greg's.
Right, okay, John, just on that, right, Stephen's not here. He was kind enough to bring us in a bridie and a pie last week. How good was that?
The bridie was incredible. The bridie was brilliant.
Where was it from? Was it a local baker? It wasn't Greg's. Baines is good.
Right, so that's the next question. What's your favourite baker?
What, as in like Greg's as a baker?
I see what we're at. This discussion.
See, this is the thing. I'm of the younger generation where it's pretty much just been Greg's.
Greg's not a baker, mate.
I know.
There's more of a takeaway now. We were saying that last week. Yeah.
You can't go Baines.
You know what I'll say? I'll say JG Ross's. That's back home in Aberdeen. They're a local bakers.
Oh,
they're good.
Right,
okay. Oh, actually, John, there's one for you.
Uh-huh.
he is the uncle of Ethan Ross, who plays for.
Is that right?
He's from just outside Aberdeen.
There you go. Yeah. And then there's the next question, because a lot of the listeners will be asking this question, Gabs. Are you English?
It's complicated.
Right, okay.
How's it complicated?
What's with that? Have you come from Aberdeen? What's with that
where
accent?
Where were you born?
I was born in London.
Well, right, you're
it's
English,
in England,
then?
It's in the south of England.
So it's you're English then?
Well, no, because.
How's that complicated?
Because multinational, you can be multinational, it's about how you feel. I identify as Scottish.
I love that.
You're English. But you were born in England,
but
mate.
But that's not all that matters. But I've grown up in Scotland. I've lived in Scotland for 22 years.
Mate, because you've done more shits in Scotland, doesn't mean to say you're Scottish.
I might have done a few when I was a baby in England. Might have done a few.
Oh, imagine, by the way, imagine being his ma, right? Honestly.
In my nappies. Oh, changing it every 5 minutes.
You must have shit yourself every 2 seconds.
Oh, I feel for her.
Was she able to take you out? Oh, he's stinking again.
I should ask her. My dad is reasonably similar to me, though.
Does he shit his cell as well?
He's quite sensitive tummied, you know.
Is he? Right, so what we've gathered, John, is quite simply, right? Forget the name, forget all the Scottish. He's English.
No, because, right, so again...
You're English.
No. I was born in Australia, right?
Mm-hmm. If I was born in Australia and I came here to live... What nationality am I?
Whatever you feel.
I'm Australian.
But he qualified. Do you qualify for Scotland,
Gabs? I could, if I was a professional footballer, which I very nearly was, right?
Right. Remember the day he turned up at Hampden with his trophy? What was the cup final?
It was just Saturday morning leagues. What would it be?
No. What was the cup final at Hampden? We were at a cup final.
Celtic Cali?
Oh, was it something like that? And we're all in the presser, right? You know what like it is? We're outside and the cameras are up there and all the superstars and commentators and all the pundits and everything. And I turned around and I sees this wee trophy sitting. And I'm thinking, what is that? And it was the man who had been playing in the morning, right? Mm-hmm. And this is the best bit about it. I thought, right, okay, why has he brought that? And he was proud of it, showing it off, telling everybody he played in a pub league and they won the trophy against fucking, I don't know, Hansel Village. And he turned round and I says to him, right, okay, what position did you play? He was a sub.
You were a sub. Don't know why you think that's funny. I came on when we were 1-0 down, 1-2-1.
Mate, you were a fucking sub. You couldn't even get a game.
That's because I was coming back from injury.
And yet you brought your trophy.
That's because I come straight from the game.
How did you get to get
leave
a trophy?
In your car?
No, John, it was like instead of a medal, you got a mini trophy.
Oh, right, okay.
So then
right,
as patter, right, I was using right, it to right. hold down the team sheets as like a paperweight.
Oh, brilliant.
Hold on. Why did you not leave it in the car?
Because I just had a bag. I had my whole bag with me.
You're bollocks, mate. I'm bollocks.
And this is before Dazzle liked me as well. This is before we bonded in Germany. He just thought I was the right wanker.
Well, that's true. See when Gabs came on the show at the beginning, a super scoreboard. Me and Mark Wilson used to have conversation after conversation, and we thought he was the biggest prick we'd ever met in our life.
Mate, that's what everyone says when they
meet. That is absolutely true. And here's another thing about Gabs, and we're having a wee time. The people want to know who you are. He's got the smallest car I've ever seen.
I thought you were going to say something else.
I've seen that in Germany. By the way, I'll tell you what, that's a dead heat. What kind of car is that?
Smart car.
It's like a fucking washing machine with four wheels.
Oh, so good.
Mate.
See, driving around the city in that?
you'd be better walking, mate.
Mate, you know, you can park front on, like in wee spaces, so I can park with the front of it facing the curb and it doesn't stick out enough, it's fine.
It's the smallest car.
And the good thing is, you don't have to give lifts to anyone. Anyone's like, oh, can you give me a lift? Sorry, don't have enough space.
Oh, exactly. Right. Oh, I hope you don't shit yourself in that car.
That's the way to buy one now. Didn't have to give lifts to anyone else anymore.
You'd love that. Just going back, right, you're giving me stick for being English. I do get that.
You're
a lot.
English,
I've got an English accent, right? But my dad is half Italian, half Welsh. Okay, and my mum's English, and then I grew up in Scotland. So I could get back to the point, if I was a player, and to be fair, my brother was a lot closer to that. He used to play for Scotland when he was growing up. We could play for England, Scotland, Wales, or Italy.
Right, okay. So where was your dad born?
England.
How the fuck is he half Italian, half Welsh?
Because his ma is Welsh and his dad is Italian.
But he was born in England, mate.
But it doesn't change your blood.
Mate, if you're born in a country, that's where you're from.
On paper, but that's not who you are.
Yeah, can I just say my son was born in Newcastle, but he's definitely not English.
Thank you,
John. I'm just saying that. Yeah, I'm with you, Gabs.
He's English.
Yeah, but he's not going to cut about in an England top, is he?
I don't care what
three
he cuts
lines
about.
On my shirt.
Right,
that's him.
I don't care what he cuts about. In. Right, if you're born in a country, that's where you were born. So you're English.
I know, but that doesn't mean you should feel that way and support that team.
I'm not giving a shit how you feel, mate.
All right, but I'm just okay.
Right, so,
right,
I
so on paper,
I can't
I'm
grasp then. How your dad can be half Italian and half Welsh. Mm-hmm. And he was born in England. How does
his
that work?
His parents, the
same. It doesn't matter.
Right, anyway, so he was brought up to support Italy and Wales. So he doesn't support England, even though he sounds even more English than me. So I was brought up to support Italy. And then I obviously support Scotland as well.
And
I've
by
lived
the
there
way,
since I was seven.
Just to let John know, his boy is English.
Oi!
You should get him a Secret Santa Christmas
talk. You can fucking deny it any time you want, but your boy's English, mate.
Right. You opened the show with an embarrassing story about me, and you know, I open up to you about some of my bowel issues. Do you want to tell everyone what happened this morning with your bonnet?
Oh, my hair.
Yeah, go on. Come on. Well, okay. I wasn't going to do it, but you went in harsh, so.
Right, okay. Come out the shower, and obviously, when you get to this age, you try to flick the hair over, and I've been using a wee bit of hairspray, right?
Is that a recent thing, the hairspray?
No, it's just my good lady tries to present me and look after me and says, right, get your hair in, and she'll put a wee bit of hairspray on it just to hold it. Nothing up with that. A lot of people do it. You go to the barbers, that's what happens. So she was obviously away to work, and I've obviously got the hair, and I've got right there a hairspray, and I'm putting it on. I've lacquered right up. And then I realised that I'd put the Christmas air freshener. I mean, it was fucking stinking.
You smell like apple pie.
And I thought, I ain't getting back into that shower. So I'm... And it's total air freshener.
Oh, it's
all
terrible.
Over my hair. But you know, it's smelling nice.
Yeah, at least air freshener smells all right. You know, one time I did... I'd run out of deodorant. It was only a couple months ago, run out of deodorant. So I went into my mate's room. Still live with one of my pals. Went into his room to use his deodorant. I've just gone like that, sprayed it, looked at it. Crepe Protect, it's called. Shoe spray.
Serious? With your Oaxford stinging.
Oh, yeah, it. Seriously. Straight back in the shower.
Oh, I've sprayed a lot of bad things in myself.
You know, you're talking about pies, you and Stephen. I've been listening to the podcast. John... I said, you know, just familiarise yourself with the podcast. The first 15 minutes typically is discussed pies, soup, all this kind of thing.
No, Stephen's in his soup.
I feel like I needed to tell you something. I get a free sausage roll from Greg's every week with my bank.
With your bank?
My bank.
What bank are you?
Monzo. It's like a...
Mate, I've got a Monzo.
You got a Monzo?
Why the fuck? I've just had a sausage roll in my soup.
Have you? You could have got that for free.
Why?
If you're... I'll show you after the podcast, right? If you're on Monzo, other banks are available. If you're on Monzo Premium, which gives you your car insurance, travel insurance, things like that, you get a free sausage roll every week. You get a little barcode and just going, beep, free from Greg's. How good's that?
Oh, that's good, mate.
You can have a sausage roll, a drink, or a sweet treat. You can have a yum-yum or a donut.
But can you have the soup? Because the soup's the dearest in the world.
Is it? How much is it?
$2.40, mate.
Is that expensive?
I've got to do about 3 podcasts just to afford one on a Friday. That's how bad it is. It's ridiculous.
Do they change their soup every day, or is it always just tomato? Just tomato.
Beautiful.
I'll need to try it. I'm going to go after this, in honour of the podcast.
Go and taste their tomato soup, okay. Right? I get a sausage roll because one of the listeners of the podcast advised it. Dip the sausage roll in the tomato soup, mate. Lie back in your wee car. Well, you can't lie back.
Just sit up.
Sit up, and then prepare yourself for the biggest shit you'll ever have in your life.
Man.
You will love it.
It'll come out
a different colour, but you will love the tomato soup.
See, you know what else is popular? Talking of fast food, dipping in. People, I know a few people, McDonald's, chips, McFlurry. dip the chips in the McFlurry?
Nah, I'm not having that. Mate, I'm not, I don't think there's anybody out there would do that.
I've seen several people do it. Several.
Chips in an ice cream?
Yep, you dip it in.
Nah,
and
mate.
They've got to be just out of the oven, so they're like fresh, piping hot. Dip it in the McFlurry. Vanilla McFlurry.
John, you having that?
That's brutal.
Nah, that people do that.
I have seen it.
Listen, anyone that's listening to the podcast, if you do that or have at least heard or seen someone do that, please leave your comment because I want to prove to you that this it happens.
I'm not having it.
I don't mind it. I would rather just be.
Have you ever tried it?
Yeah, I've tried it. Yeah, of course.
And is it nice?
Yeah. I mean, I would rather dip it in mayo or whatever.
Chips in an ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not having that.
It's McDonald's for you, mate.
I like a lot of dips, but I'm not having
chips. What's your go-to dip? Are you just a ketchup guy?
No, I like a bit of... I like garlic.
What, garlic mayo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like a wee bit of garlic mayo.
The Domino's garlic mayo.
Yeah,
nice.
But I've never tried...
You'll need to try it. Tell you what, we got that night out on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
See, after it, 1 a.m, scooping at McDonald's, four corners.
Let's do it.
Get Daz on the ice cream chips.
Let's say Big John, let's do it. 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, you're looking forward to that night out?
I'm looking forward to it, yeah. I might drive, actually.
Why?
Don't drive, Daz.
He gives it this one every time. You'll be there having beers.
I know, like last year.
No, because I'm on the show.
On Thursday.
8 o'clock. Because it's always a Thursday. There's another peeve.
I know. Don't get me started in this, Daz. Like,
why is it always a Thursday?
Thursday night.
Cheapest night.
Is it, mate?
Thursday can't be the cheapest night.
That is 100%.
Monday will be cheaper.
They book it on a Thursday because it is cheap. And I reckon also there's probably comes into it as well is that a lot of our presenters are DJs and do Christmas parties, so a lot of them couldn't make the Christmas party.
We work round about them.
Yeah. Well, they're the talent, Daz. You've got to work round the talent.
Like this is the talent,
like,
right here.
Like yourself, yeah, exactly.
But on a Thursday, the guys that do Super Scoreboard just got overlooked.
It doesn't stop you. You got steaming last year.
No, I did not.
Yeah, you did. You were stood by the side of the dance floor and there was never a bottle of beer, not with your hand, and you were just like... You were just like the godfather. Everyone would just like come for an audience.
Yeah. He was giving it some, honestly, some talk. 100%.
He was like the godfather. He was just standing by the side of the dance floor and an audience. He was just inviting an audience to him. And there was never a beer out of his hand.
We had a ridiculous conversation that night that can't be repeated on this podcast. But you remember you were in stitches? I'll tell you after this.
Don't tell that story, Gabs. Don't tell that
There's
story.
There's no way that can go away.
Yeah.
Right, we've not even spoken about football yet.
Yeah, come on, let's go on here.
Right, got to start yesterday. We were both there. Where to begin? St Mirren. Begin with St Mirren. It's their day.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that you've got to give St Mirren all the congratulations in the world. I thought they were brilliant. They got off to, look, we all tipped, and I'm going to say it, we all tipped Celtic.
Everyone, yes.
And St Mirren got off to the best start. I said that if St Mirren were any chance of winning the cup, they had to score the first goal, right?
Mm-hmm.
They got off to the fairy tale start, didn't they, in the cup final. All credit to Celtic. I thought, possession-wise, I thought they were better in the first half, created a couple of chances, so did St Mirren. Get back to one each, and you're thinking, right, it's usually the favourites all go and win the cup now. St Mirren have sort of had that blow, been one up, something to look, hold on to, although it was a long, long way still to go.
Mm.
But when Celtic come back, I've been in that situation, you think, oh, maybe our chance is gone. Second half, they were brilliant.
They were brilliant.
And at 2-1, I thought to myself, will this be a case of, right, everybody behind the ball, let's hold on, let's try and run down the clock, let's see if we can get to the end of this game. 2-1, we've won the cup. Nope, they went after Celtic. It could have been 4 or 5.
It could have been.
They deserve every pat in the back that was given and is coming this week, because tactically they were spot on. They had it right. Substitutions, everything about them, the manager, his staff, the supporters, the players, the tea lady, everybody deserves every pat in the back because they were sensational.
Yeah, they certainly were. I mean, the first half was a proper cup final. What you want from a cup
Brilliant
final.
Game,
the underdog take an early lead, the favourite get back into it, look like they're playing well, but it was end to end, you know? Mm-hmm. Wilfried Nancy actually called it a ping pong game in the post-match presser, which I thought it was, but that's what you want from a cup final, as a neutral, you're watching it. But then in the second half, he changed his tactics, Robinson. You know, he split the strikers a bit higher and wider, and they were almost man for man with Celtic's back line, you know? And I just felt, when you're looking at the two teams and the two managers, Robinson has changed, made proper tweaks, whereas Nancy, obviously he tries to make changes, but nothing worked. Nothing worked for Nancy, did it?
No. I think that if I was a Celtic supporter and I was watching that game yesterday and I said it on air, Celtic went 2-1 down. Now, it's Celtic. Hampden, cup final. Mm. I know they stank the place out against Aberdeen. It was the worst cup final I've ever been at. But you'd expect Celtic to come back into it, show a bit of character, show a bit of fight. Did nothing. They chucked it. And I don't mean they chucked it. I never looked at that cup final yesterday when it was 2-1 thinking, oh, this has got to go to extra time. Celtic are got to come back into this. I looked at that cup final and thought, Celtic are gone. Mm. They were gone.
How big a blow was Iheanacho going off? Because he made a difference. That was the first time he started in nearly 2 months.
Yeah.
Actually, a centre forward, hold the ball up, bring others into play.
Yeah, and we discussed it. I thought he was the right pick, because to get the ball up to him and try and get the midfield players and the wide players to go and play off him, he's the man. He's the only guy in the club that can probably do that job just now. But when he went off, and then obviously Johnny Kenny comes on, and you look at that team and you think, I ain't going nowhere. Mm-hmm. I'm sad to say this, but I know they're sitting second in the league. I know that people can look at Martin O'Neill. You can talk about Feyenoord all you want. They are a poor, poor side. They're poor, mate.
When you looked at that, the 11 that were on the park at the full-time whistle, you know, Forrest McCowan as wing-backs.
Forrest ended up playing in the middle of the park at one point.
Ended up playing in the middle of the park. Young Colby Donovan gets done for that third goal.
Yeah, Johnny Kenny, not good enough. I'm sorry. They are, as much as you can have a real go at the manager, right? The manager's struggling. There's no doubt about that. But the players, I'm sorry, they are not Celtic material for me. They'll get their Celtic January. But they need a big, big introduction of players. Mm. You look at the wide players as well. You know, they've spent a few quid in wide players. Shocking.
Yeah, right. We'll get onto that more. We'll chat a lot more in depth about that. But let's do some of your correspondence. Obviously, it's usually Stephen that chats with it. His question about who was the first foreign manager in the English top flight. Neil Cobb, 1731. Joseph Venglos, the first foreign manager in the English top flight. And Andrew Moore, 1163 as well, saying Dr. Joe, first foreign manager for Aston Villa. Some chat on the World Cup plans as well. This is what I want to talk to you about. We've got at Brad EZY saying, booked up for Miami. Prices for Boston were mental. However, Big Kenny McLean will have the full Brazilian team in the back pocket. You're looking forward to, as a city, Boston or Miami more?
Oh, well, I've never been to Boston. I've been to Miami.
You have been to Miami, have you?
Yeah.
When was that?
Oh, years ago. I was in Miami and then I took a cruise around the Caribbean.
Oh.
So I know Miami. Lovely place. And especially if there's a lot of Brazilians there. So it would... It would obviously...
It's like something from one of your dreams.
Yeah. Miami with a Brazilian.
Venice Beach.
Brilliant. Oh, I've never been to Boston, but everyone that I've heard tells me Boston is beautiful.
Are you looking forward to... I was speaking to Gordon Duncan yesterday. We're taking you on the Harvard tour, all right? We're going to do the walk-in tour around Harvard.
Oh, Boston. Look forward to that. Are we going? That's the thing. Got to go.
Discussion's happening. We'll find a way.
We'll find a way.
It's like Jurassic Park. We will find.
Well,
a way.
I'm going to oust David Robertson because he told me that.
The big boss.
Big boss has probably nodded his head the right way.
It's okay. He doesn't listen to this podcast. We're fine.
we're okay.
All right.
I've got to say, I'd love to go. I probably won't see another one.
Oh, stop it. I also, when I was listening to the podcast as well, I was on the phone to Stephen Mill last week, and I said, a couple of weeks ago, you started the show just talking about Daz dying. Was that something you pre-prepared? And he was like, no, I just came to our
head. He's got me away.
Can I tell you about one of my mate's World Cup plans? Because I met him on the train.
Yeah.
This guy's well known. I mean, this guy is called Sheepy, right? He's from Aberdeen. He's an Aberdeen supporter, right? And when he's home and away with Aberdeen, when he's not home and away with Aberdeen, he goes and watches Steny home and away. And when he's not home and away with Steny, he'll go and watch Falkirk just for the shits and giggles. And he's at Scotland home and away, right? So I bumped into him the other day there. Unbelievable. He saw 92 games last season live. 92 games, right?
Good effort.
So he's booked up. I was speaking to him. He's booked up for 16 now. This is his plans, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to fly into New York. They're going to spend some time in New York. They're going to go down to Boston in a bus and then back up the same night for the first game against Haiti. Then they're going to fly out to Atlantic City, spend 5 days there in between the games, then get a flight from Philadelphia back to Boston, overnight in Boston for the game there, and then a flight from Boston down to Fort Lauderdale, and then he'll see what happens. He's booked that for 16 people, and he's got all the buses, the flights, and the accommodation sorted. I was like, that is incredible
for
stuff.
16 people?
16 people he booked.
Has he got 16 on board?
He's all booked. To say
that is organised.
Like, he's got like ridiculous amount of numbers points for the Tartan Army as well. So he's just waiting on the tickets now. But I was like, I heard the story. I was like, Jesus Christ!
How much would that be ahead then?
Is he offering them like a
package?
A package, yeah. Is he selling packages?
No,
he's
his organisation.
But I'm telling you what, we're going to go to him. we're booking him. I'm just going to go to him and just say, can you organise this for us, mate? That'd be great.
Mate, that's some amount of money, isn't it? You think about it.
Well, let's talk about one of the main topics of the week. The price of tickets to the World Cup.
Incredible, isn't it?
So on the 11th of December, so what was that, Thursday? They opened the ballot where you get to apply for what tickets you want. You can apply for up to 4 tickets per game and up to 40 tickets in total. Category 4 tickets have gone. So the cheapest ticket you can apply for is Category 3, but that's a very small percentage of the stadium. So your best chance is to apply for Category 2 or Category 1. And
what are you looking at?
I think Scotland's first game against Haiti, Category 2 is nearly £300, nearly £400 for Category 1.
That's a joke, mate. That's a joke. That is robbery.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, it is. Look, I don't mind that if they put a little bit extra on the ticket because it's a World Cup, everything about it, and I totally get that. But to ramp that up to something like £300 is an absolute disgrace. They shouldn't be allowed to do that. It's a disgrace.
FIFA think they are, and they seem to be above reproach, which is just... It's ridiculous. But do you not think that it'll get to a point where the atmosphere, I'm not saying, people in Scotland will pay that.
100%.
I mean, I've got 4 tickets to that game. Luck of the draw.
Did you pay 3?
Yeah, I've had £280 a ticket.
No.
Yeah, but that was before the draw. Do you not remember when we were watching it together? I just happened to get Scotland, Morocco. But
you paid £280 for a ticket?
Yeah, 4 tickets. But I'm hoping that we'll be going in press passes for my family and my girlfriend. But I'm saying, you know, people from Scotland will pay that because, as you say, this will be your last one.
You're from England.
But the other countries, if you're German, Spanish, Argentinian, Brazilian, they're at the World Cup every year.
Yeah, you know? Sure, they're not going to pay that.
They're
money.
Not going to be like, oh, I've got to go. Whereas everyone in this country has to go because they're worried. Whereas I just feel like the atmosphere, so many games, I've no doubt atmosphere at Scotland games will be amazing, but so many games will drop because there will not be the diehard fans like Sheepy, you know, from another country that go home and away because they won't be able to afford to go. Never mind the flights to America, the hotel. That if David Robinson is listening, it's the hotels that are the biggest killer.
Is it?
Oh, ridiculous.
Why don't we just hire a camper van?
Imagine,
hold on,
one toilet.
That's the first thing that came into my mind there, and I'm going, oh, that's a great idea. Oh, hold on a minute.
That's what Stephen O'Donnell. Stephen O'Donnell's in Super Scoreboard last week. He's hiring a big RV and then just got to do, you know, hire it out, stop wherever, and then just drive down to Fort Lauderdale for the Miami.
Is there a toilet on an RV?
Of course,
yeah,
they are.
There will be.
Yeah, yeah. Just one, though.
You can just sit. You're not invited.
I was thinking, if we had that could just be my room. I could just live in the toilet.
I know, you could. Can
everyone
you?
Else could just live
in the toilet. You would probably live in the toilet. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Oh. I've been abroad with you before. I know what you're all about.
Oh, I had a really bad one. Apologies if people aren't interested in this type of
humor. What a fantastic podcast this is. We're just talking about Gab's toilet habits. This is great.
I had a really bad one.
When did you have a good one? Tell us again.
I'm over it. I was in Romania in the summer on holiday with my mates, right? Or in Bucharest, which, by the way, crazy place.
Drink German beer.
Oh, you'd be struggling massive time in Bucharest. If anyone's ever been, they'll know what I mean. And I like a bit of culture, you know me, so I've booked a tour of Transylvania to leave at 7 in the morning. It's a 13-hour tour. We go to Dracula's castle and all this. Two different castles, two different cities. You'd have hated it.
Mate, I couldn't.
You know, the only thing I'm worried about is, please be a toilet. The bus pulls up, huge bus, and I'm like, bingo, toilet, no problem. We get on. And the tour guide, he's actually an Italian guy, speaking about six languages. And he's going, "Well, welcome to the tour." And we're all sitting at the back.
Is that Italian?
Yeah. I'm not doing anyone. He was doing a Dracula impression. And there's eight of us blokes at the back of the thing. And just at the end, he says, "Oh, and I must tell you, the toilet is broken." And so straight away, I'm like, "Man, I'm in trouble here." You know, it's 2.5 hours between each stop. So I get about an hour in and I'm like, I've got to go. I'm like, I can see there's a toilet. He's just saying it's broken. So I go down, it's locked, but this ain't my first rodeo on a bus. Right. So I get a little key out, undo it, and it's open. There's a toilet there, but all it's...
And she not clocked you?
No, because he's right down at the front. And the toilet is towards the back.
Right, got you.
So I've just gone in there and the flush is broken. So that's what... That's what's wrong. So I just do my business, go out, lock again with the key.
And leave that line in there.
A few of the other boys have then realised, like, oh, well, the toilet's just the toilet. So then a few of the lads are using it, but no one else is, because obviously people have been told not to. And we're on this bus for about 13 hours, eight boys that have been out the night before. And I had, just before we got to Bucharest, I had to go again, and I went in there, and it was, you could imagine.
The worst ever.
Like, you know, if you're talking about a Portaloo at Tea in the Park or something, it's like that, but 10 times worse, you know?
Oh, mate.
And then just before we got...
I'd have rather shit myself.
Oh, just before we got off, there was a group of girls that were down right by the toilet.
They were impressed.
She walked down, and she walked as if she was going to go to the toilet, and we were all at the back going, oh, no, 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 shouting at her, no, no, no. Thankfully, she was just going down to put her phone in charging right by the toilet, but it must have stank as well. And we were honestly like, see, if she goes in there, she will scream this bus down. This bus will come to a halt on the Transylvanian Highway. So,
and did you do it in the same way back?
Oh, honestly, see, when we got back to Bucharest, we all just sprinted off that bus.
That bus has never passed an MOT since.
Still there. Oh, yeah. Right. No more talk of that, please. Let's talk more about football. Stories from the week. Right, we've talked about FIFA's ticket prices. What about another bad week in Europe for Scotland's teams? Celtic losing, Rangers losing, the Dons losing.
Yeah, we're not doing very well, are we?
Why are we struggling so much this year?
Because we're poor. I think we're probably the poorest standard of... You look at, for instance, you talk there, Celtic Rangers.
Yeah.
I would probably say poorest Rangers Celtic teams for a long time, i.e. why the managers have changed so quickly.
You think even with Rangers, because Celtic, yes, you know, they've been at the top for so long, they're on a clear dip right now. You think even Rangers, this is as poor an iteration of Rangers as we've seen in a while.
Look at Rangers' recent European campaign.
Even when they've been poor in the league.
Yeah.
They've been going well.
They've been good. But I think there's a rebuilding job for both.
Mm-hmm.
I think that January can't come quick enough for Rangers and Celtic. Aberdeen, you look at their league form. One minute you see Aberdeen and you're thinking, yep, they're on the right way. Mm-hmm. They're starting to play again. And then next minute, take a wee dip. They've had a good bit of form now. Good result yesterday as well. But are you really confident with Aberdeen, especially in Europe? I wouldn't think so. We're terrible in Europe just now, aren't we?
I know.
You know, you don't get into any games that... Now, even when the big hitters came to Celtic Park and Ibrox, you always thought, there's a result here.
Could get something.
I could get something. But now you're going, nah, absolutely no chance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just one of these situations. And I think that it's a case of Rangers and Celtic right now have got bigger things to look after than bothering about Europe. Europe's probably gone for them.
Do you think Celtic is gone for as well?
I think there are a lot of difficult games coming up. And you look at that Celtic team yesterday. I know the argument's going to be that Martin and Neil got a tune out of them against Feyenoord.
Mm-hmm.
But against Michelin...
Yeah, I was there. They were outclassed. Outclassed.
Exactly, mate. Exactly.
By Midgetland.
Yeah, yeah. And Feyenoord was a brilliant result. And you've got to give them all the credit in the world. I thought they were excellent on the night. But no, I don't think right now Europe is a concern to Celtic and Rangers. I think domestically, because see if you're a Hearts, you're sitting at, and a Hearts sitting at the top of the league, you're fancying your chances this year.
Mm.
You've got to be.
See, when O'Neill got it back to level with a game in hand, you started to think like, our Hearts, they'd won 1-6 in the league. You know, this is before they met at Parkhead. And you thought, not as the bubble burst, you know, all that chat. It was more just, okay, you're expecting Celtic to win it from here. Hearts, you know, if they finish third, that's still a good season. But now again, you're looking at them.
They're
not going to have a better chance.
Yeah, but my big thing is January, right? But the problem is it doesn't guarantee. You can out and spend a lot of money.
Signing's always a risk.
Exactly.
Rangers spent nearly 30 million in the summer.
Right, and I told you about the way players at Celtic brought in, what, 10 million in two?
Tonekti and Balakwisha.
Balakwisha
can't get on the park.
Mate, he's woeful.
He was the one that Rodgers pushed for as well.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what nobody highlights. Brendan Rodgers wanted him in the building. He can't. He'd be lucky to get given a championship team. He's terrible. Mm. They paid £5 million for him.
Tonekti's found himself a right back.
He's another one. I watched him when he came in at first and I thought, oh, something about him. He looks decent. Everything, he's positive. Watched him yesterday. He's like all the other wingers that have come in before. Is it Palmer? He started off and you're thinking, oh, he's got to be a top player. And I remember, on the day I changed my mind about him, I remember sitting, I was very close to him, down at Rugby Park, and I watched him, and I thought, oh, you just do not fancy this at all.
Tonekti or Palmer?
Palmer.
Yeah.
And eventually he just went downhill, and it's the same what's happening here. He came in, good start. I watched him yesterday. He was dreadful.
January is going to be so big, and the thing is, now we know Hearts will make signs as well.
Yeah.
They've got that lad coming in from, Kazakhstan or... they've got a player coming in, apparently they've already pre-arranged the sign-in, and they will have, with this Jamestown analytics, they'll bring someone in. If I was Celtic, it would cross my mind to think, why don't I just go and buy one of Hearts players and try and skew them off? Go and buy Claudio Braga. Do you think Hearts would sell him? Is there any price for Hearts to sell him, Braga?
Oh, listen, everybody's got a price, right? Everybody. But I know what you're saying. But the one thing I think that's different for Hearts, you look at Derek McInnes's come in there. He knows the league inside out. He knows how to get a tune out of them. It's not pretty at times. Of course, he went through that wee bad run, 1-6. But he's making players better that was there before.
That's the sign of a good manager. Devlin, when you actually improve players. Devlin
to me was the most average footballer I've ever seen in my life. Mm. See now when I see him, I think he's terrific. I'm thinking he'd be a massive loss. He'd be a massive loss to Hearts.
What about Harry Milne?
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
I was playing against him at 17.
Is that right?
Yeah. So he left Aberdeen and played 1 year, just played for his local boys club, Bankery. We were just playing against him. He was obviously a great player, but you know, he was working in a bar when he was playing for Cove. Then Cove get promoted. You know, this is when they're in the Highland League. Mm-hmm. And they get promoted. He gets his move to Thistle. And he gets his move to Hearts. He didn't, you know, he moved a year ago in January. Didn't really start much. And now he's arguably one of the best.
Yeah.
You know.
And they can play a couple of positions. He's played in the
right wing.
Exactly.
He's a left back.
Exactly. And by the way, didn't look out of place.
I know.
Right. So that's where I think Hearts are a little bit different. And you're right. I think they'll do their homework and bring in players in, and they'll fit into what Derek's trying to do. I still think it's a big ask, right?
Of course it is.
It's a big ask. I'm not getting carried away. It's a big, big ask for Hearts, because the longer it goes, the pressure mounts up, and we've got to keep winning, we've got to keep winning. And then if you look below you and you see Celtic closing that gap like they did under Martinale, all of a sudden that bit of pressure just tells a little bit. But right now, they will not get a better chance this year of winning the league.
Yeah, right. Before we get on to the actual games themselves, Brendan Rodgers looks like he's set for a move to Saudi Arabia at Al Qadzia in Saudi.
Well, I wonder why Brendan's gone there. The weather's good, eh?
Can you understand why he's doing that? Does it make sense from a career perspective at the moment for you?
Nah.
Do you think he's over trying to get another shot at the Premier League?
I'm surprised at that, right? Because I don't think he'll be short of a couple of quid, right? Obviously, he'll be getting paid big bucks over there. I thought Brendan would sit and wait for a sort of a top of the championship near the bottom.
Really,
of the
do you think he'd fancy that again? Going back into
It depends on the club. If it's a big club, maybe Leeds were under a little bit of pressure. Mm. Wolves, they changed their manager. You know, I thought Brendan would have fancied something like that again, and I think he would have been on the radar. But it looks like he fancies a wee bit abroad and a bit of sunshine and a bit more money.
See, if you were a player now, you got offered Saudi, would you?
I'll do.
Yeah?
I'll do, mate. I would go for 2-year contract and then I'd retire.
You'd retire?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not asked about coming back.
The minute I make my first million, I'm out.
Because they're paying four times the wage. You know?
I'm out. I don't give a...
What happens if Saudi Super Scoreboard come and offer you four times? Would you go now?
I would go right now. In fact, I would jump my car, go to the airport, leave my car, go over, do what I had to do, get that cha-ching, and then boom, out.
Do you think they've got golf courses in Saudi? They must do.
Yeah, of course they do.
I'm just thinking it's a desert, isn't it?
Yeah, of course
they do. But yeah, they've got LIV and everything over there.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, imagine playing floodlight in those courses.
Never anything. Brilliant.
Have you played night golf before? Floodlight golf?
No.
A few of my mates in Dubai have.
Well, funny enough, the last time I was in Dubai, I got a phone call to invite me to go and play golf, but I didn't go and play. But I'd love to play golf in these countries. Mm. Floodlight would be absolutely sensational.
I know, imagine.
That'd be great, mate. That'd be great. Turn the lights off you when they find your ball right now.
I was thinking that. I could get away with it. Just play. It's still playing.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get a wee round in Boston, somewhere up there. Oh, imagine that.
Yeah, it'd be brilliant.
Oh. You're yet to play. We've not actually played together. We've been on golf days. You've not actually played with me yet. I'm terrible.
Yeah, that's why I've not played with you, mate. I don't play with people.
I think you'd fall out with me pretty quickly. right, let's get on to the weekend. So we'll start with the League Cup final. We've spoken about it briefly, but it cannot get enough chat. St Mirren, League Cup winners for just the second time in their history. One of the best days in the club's entire existence. Of course, they won the Scottish Cup three times and the League Cup previously in 2013. But to do it against Celtic and all the previous achievements, top six 3 years in a row, European football two of the last 3 years as well. Stephen Robinson is a legend in Paisley. Jonah Oyunga with the second half brace. Brilliant. I'm going to ask you, 31 years ago, that was the League Cup final you won. Yeah, 31 years ago.
Is that 31 years?
Mm-hmm. Jonah Oyunga last night scores a double to win the cup.
Mm-hmm.
Talk us through, what was it like when you scored? I know you didn't score the winning goal, but... what's he going through?
Ah, well, it was different for us because we were 2-1 down at the time.
Mm.
And Celtic had just scored and there was only 5 or 6 minutes to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember saying to Ali Graham when we were centering the ball... Because they were on their way down with the cup with the green and white ribbons, do you know?
Were they?
Yeah. That was true.
Starting to carve the name in the trophy.
Well, 100%. And by the way, rightly so, because Celtic have got what the players that they've got, international players, it's Raith Rovers. We were in the Championship at the time. Charlie Nick has just scored with, what, 6-7 minutes to go, something like that,
mm-hmm, yeah.
Right? So, but I remember, honest to God, and I tell this all the time, Big Ali Graham, and we were going to just centre the ball, and I looked up and I says, look, we'll get one more chance here. And he looked at me going, "You think so?" I went, "Yeah," I says, "but I hope it falls to me." and by the way, that's true. But pure luck, it did fall to me.
Yeah.
Right. And we went 2-2 and obviously won the penalties. And but I could take myself, see yesterday watching those scenes, I could actually take myself onto that part for him.
Yeah.
Because I knew the feeling that as underdogs, everybody fancied Celtic, of course they did, but as underdogs and you've won that, and it might not come. I was lucky, I was involved in three League Cup finals. One with Rangers, we won, and obviously Raith Rovers, and then I was a manager and won. But that might not come along again for you. You will never have that feeling. And that feeling of going up there, lifting the cup, your family's there, your kids are there, you see the supporters. I seen the manager, and I loved the way he milked that. I loved the way Stephen Robinson milked that, right? His players entitled to, but sometimes as a manager, you'll stand off it a little bit because you don't want to be seen, you know, being too, go and get the trophy and hold it up and clap the fans. Mate, he was nearly in beside the fans, right? He was like a punter that just won the cup. He was a St. Mirren fan. Mm. When that whistle went.
That's what you want to see.
And I loved that. I really did. And I loved the fact that he milked it, his players milked it, the supporters milked it, because they deserved to do that. And the celebrations last night they must have had would be incredible, because I've been there. Do you know the best bit about this full cup final? And I'll tell you, you go and ask any player, right? You see the scenes in the dressing room, right? The best bit about the cup final when you won as an underdog is the team bus going back to Paisley. That would have been like George Bowie on there, a bonkers bus. It would have been rocking.
Wouldn't it?
It would have been rocking, mate.
Oh, they were in the press conference. Stephen Robinson was talking about, someone asked him if he wants the freedom of Paisley, he should get the freedom of Paisley. And MSP today has incidentally said that as well. He said, "I've got the freedom of Vienna's." And straight away I was thinking, what has he got to do with Austria? But Vienna's is a...
Have you not heard of Vienna's League Cup, Gabs?
That's because I'm not from...
Oh, my.
I've only lived
in because you're English, of course, you're English.
Exactly, so, Johnny's English. Has your boy heard it? Because he's English as well.
I mean, that's a good question.
Yeah, that's in Paisley.
George plays here all the time with the GBX.
Never heard of it. I was looking at him like, what are you talking about? Vienna's? Like, but that's where they went last night, apparently.
Daz has the freedom of Jackie O's back in the day, Daz.
Yeah. Jack O's was a frequent Club de Mara air. Oh, I love the Club de Marla here Wednesday night, mate. Oh, couldn't miss. But listen, is that where they went to the
Vienna's,
I know they had the reception at Town Hall.
Yeah.
And then obviously look, we went out for 3 days in a row.
Did you?
3 days in a row.
Did you go home between? Or were you just like staying all over the place?
Staying in a hotel. We went out 3 days in a row. Mate,
you still wearing your tracksuit 3 days later?
Yeah, we played, our next game, funny enough, was league game down at Somerset against Ayr. And I remember the Ayr United players clapping us onto the pitch, right? And the smelly booze was incredible. We all looked at that and thought, probably never happen again for us. Mm-hmm. Right? I was lucky that I went into management and went to a cup final, but didn't win it. But as a player and your teammates, I would not fault this. I know it's different now, right? Because players, a lot of them don't drink and stuff like that. Back in our day, the minute you got on that team bus, the champagne and the drink and everything, it was gone. But I would not fault them if they're still out today. I would be milking that right up.
Surely they'll have 2 days off.
Mate, I'd be milking that to Wednesday. I'd be now the Monday club.
Would you?
Oh, I love a Monday club. Do you like a Monday club? Mate.
I'm never Monday.
Have you never done a Monday club? I'm going to take you and MD else that wants to come with us, right?
I'll be there.
And the best day of your life.
Where, is there a specific place?
Mate, yeah, I'll take you.
Okay.
Mate, it's fantastic. We go out Sunday. Right?
Yeah.
So we're not doing the podcast or anything. We go out Sunday, or we can do the podcast. It'll be good. We go out Sunday and then we meet 12 o'clock. Monday, and I'll take you. I'll take you.
Oh, I'm holding you to that.
MDL Show wants to come along, John. Invite them. They're more than welcome.
Right, okay. Well, we could do Thursday Club before the Christmas party this week, couldn't we? Oh, no, you're on air, Dad. Sorry.
I'm on air Thursday night.
Right, St. Mirren, brilliant day. Hope they're still out partying all week. Stephen Robinson, final on that. Stephen Robinson, is he their greatest ever manager? Everything he's achieved over these past 4 years, three, 4 years.
He's certainly up there, eh? Mm. Top six finishes, Europe. Cup final, Europe. I know the league form this season isn't that great. Do you know what I like about him? He loses his best players every single year. He goes and recruits players that you've never really heard of. He fits them into a team and he plays to their strength.
Mm.
And this is where we'll come up with the Celtic manager. He puts them into a formation that suits his team. That's their strength. Now, I've heard other pundits, and I'm not going to name them, saying, oh, I wouldn't pay to watch them and all that. St. Mirren ain't just a long ball team. They've got more to their game than that.
Yeah, it's much more nuanced than that.
100%. They've got players that can play. You look at Gogic's ball the other day, yesterday.
Oh, no, what a ball. Your guy as well.
Aye, I'll meet him at the school gates probably tomorrow.
Give him a wee handshake.
Ah, yeah.
Stinking
by the way, he's a lovely guy. Absolutely yeah, lovely guy. And he's balling. And look, they've got players that can play. So it's not, they're terrible to watch. They just get big guys up front. They don't.
Mm.
They play to their strength. They work on certain tactics. They've obviously had the full week last week because they didn't have European games or anything like that, midweek games. So after the midweek, the weekend game, they probably went off Sunday. And from Monday through to yesterday, he'd have been working on how to play against Celtic. And he changed his team as well after winning last weekend. So he's obviously had that tactic. And to be fair to him, second half, I keep going back to second half, I thought they were brilliant second half.
Yeah, they certainly were. Right, from one manager to another, Wilfried Nancy.
Right.
Baptism of fire.
Mate, I'm...
3 from 3.
Right. I walked into this studio last week, and you can go and look at the podcast, right? Mm. And I sat down, and I reluctantly turned around and I said, is it just me? I look at the guy after one game, and I hate saying this because I've been a manager. It's terrible. And I'm thinking, he needs a hug. I would like to take him out for lunch, and we were having a joke. And I was saying, it's Monday, we'll put it out there. It doesn't even look like a Celtic manager, right? And I hated it, right? And I thought, a wee bit tongue-in-cheek. And inside, I'm thinking to myself, I hope he does well. I hope, you know, a new manager coming into our country, doesn't know the thing, mate, needs time to settle in. He's coming into a massive club. I don't think he'll survive.
When you say doesn't look like a Celtic manager, what is that? You say you want to give him a hug. What, you don't think he has self-confidence
leadership? I think you've got... when I looked at Postecoglou, I thought he was a strong, dominant character. And if he spoke, people would listen. I look at Martin O'Neill, man management is brilliant, right? When you look at Martin in that dugout and standing there, if Martin tells you to jump, you're shouting how high. I watched the boy yesterday and he's going crazy in the technical area, trying to get instructions on, and he's waving at people, and I'm looking at the players and it was like, right, okay. Martin and Neil would have ran on and had a real go at you. You know what I mean?
You think they're just they're not having him, or are they struggling with his tactical?
I think a bit of both, if you know what I mean.
Right.
I think he looks like, and I hope I'm wrong. Let me tell you now, I'm hope I'm wrong, because I am never going to sit and try and say a manager should get sacked or whatever, right? Because I've stood in the shoes and there's nothing worse. But he looks like a guy in the wrong movie, right? I think he just looks
like... Is that just timing? Because these three giant games that he's come in?
No disrespect, right? I can understand. I thought against Hearts, blah, 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 at the beginning, and then I was making excuses going, well, they lost. Everybody switched off for the first goal.
Set play.
Roma, everybody's gone, well, we're not really expecting
O'Neill would have could have easily lost to Roma, you know, 100%.
And I think he would have, to be honest with you. Then you look at St Mirren yesterday, set play, first goal.
Know, that's three right. set plays in three
Why,
games.
Right. Why is Hatate marking Fraser in the 6 yard line? 7 yards.
See, when you watch that set piece as well, you had Scales and Trusty marking two of their big centre halves, but they clearly backed out to isolate.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just the most. Hatate didn't even contest it.
Incredible. Incredible. He get, but to be fair, he scored a great goal.
I did.
Give him credit for that. He just looks to me like. Okay, the argument's quite simple. He's just in. It's three games, three difficult games, right? Mm. Cup final was a big one for him. He'd have got away with the other two if he'd have won the cup yesterday. Cup final was a big one. You heard the phone calls coming in after the game. Everybody, well, big percentage want rid of him. But I blame the players as well. I've got to say, I'm not just putting all on the managers, though. Cup final was massive for him. Argument is, he said three games. He's not had a transfer window. He's not had time to work with him in the training ground because the games are coming thick and fast. So he's not had time to put his own stamp on it in the training ground, right? But if I'm honest, he's really, really struggling.
Yes. Surely he's got to get the transfer window, though, Daz.
Would you trust him? I know that the argument against that is that he probably won't make all the signings.
Exactly.
Right? But he's surely got to have a say because he's sticking to a back three.
That's so, the thing. If you back him, he's going to bring in some wing backs, some number 10s, a right-sided centre-half.
Yep, 100%. So he will have a big say in that transfer window. So, look, he's missing big players.
Do you think these next five games then are almost a referendum on him? So you've got five games including the Rangers match. So they've got Dundee United away on Wednesday, Aberdeen at home at the weekend, then after Christmas, Livy away, Motherwell away, Rangers
See,
at home.
I would January reckon 3rd. If he doesn't beat Dundee United on Wednesday, I hate to say this, I think he'll be away by next weekend.
Surely not. Four games.
Mate,
have you ever heard the likes? Four games.
Ten Hag? Two games?
Football, a Leverkusen, isn't
it? Football is now a funny industry in that sense, right? Years ago, you would never have thought of this. But we have heard from day one, after Hearts, about Celtic fans saying, no, we want them out the building, right? Roma, out the building. Yesterday was a disaster. I've got to say, I looked at them at full time and I really felt for him.
Yeah.
It's a loneliest
standing
place.
Standing by himself,
Loneliest place in the world for him. It was a loneliest place in the world for him. And he probably never slept a wink last night and he'll bring it through today. And as much as you've got to be strong and say, right, okay, can't do anything about that. We've got to look to Dundee United. We've got to start winning. And he was coming out with things. He was trying to be positive. And I get that, but people will jump on it the same way as he jumped on the tactical board and Cullery's trainers and everything. All that nonsense that goes with it. I don't buy into that. I think his players, honestly, are a disgrace. I think they need to really go and look themselves in the mirror today. And I'm taking nothing away from St Mirren because I hate this. Because everybody was talking about Celtic yesterday. Yesterday was St Mirren. It was all about St Mirren, deservedly so. But today, when you're analysing Celtic, some of the players need to go in a quiet room and look themselves in the mirror and say, did I put enough effort in a shift in there yesterday for the jersey? And I'll tell you what, the answer will be no.
Mm. Well, huge congratulations to St Mirren. Thoroughly deserved, and hopefully they're still enjoying themselves. Let's move on. Hearts 2, Falkirk 0. Looked like a lovely occasion. You see the weatherer up there, Falkirk?
Yeah. Were you there, John?
I was indeed. Jesus.
Come on.
What a horrible hole.
Well beaten.
Do you know what? It wasn't much between the side stars, if I'm honest with you.
It wasn't in this game.
There were two goals, basically. Listen, Kings, like, Shank on strike, brilliant save from Scott Bain. I think that goes, you know, Scott Bain managed to get it away. Braga, you know, follows up, good goal for him. And Stephen Kingsley's strike, what a goal that was.
That was a good goal,
first
wasn't it, mate?
First touch of the ball as well. Former Falkirk player as well. Always happens, as you know.
He's got that in his locker.
No, he's good. He was good. But let's, I mean, we'll get into
it. We'll save it for the VAR chat, okay.
I want to talk about that. But yeah, I don't think there was a great deal between the two teams. They murdered us at Tynecastle, but it's just about, felt a bit scunnered walking away. We're struggling in the final third at the moment.
You are struggling in the final third. Are you starting to slide down the table a wee bit?
A wee bit. Yeah, a wee bit.
Surely you would take bottom half, totally safe.
Gabs, I will take 10th. I will shake your hands on 10th straight away. But, you know, Hearts are in top of the league for a very good reason.
You know?
Braga is a different. He's probably the best player I've seen this season.
Player of the year at the moment for me, Braga.
Yeah, absolutely. That's sensational.
Well, unfortunately, I don't get out to games. I don't see him live.
Yeah.
But he's a big hit with the Hearts fans. He's scoring goals. He's just fit it into a good side, a side that knows what they're doing. Big game next week, John, innit? Kilmarnock.
Two big games. Kilmarnock and Dundee away for Falkirk. We really need to try and get back to winning ways.
Well,
I
had yous getting down the bottom, relegated this year.
I know
year.
You did.
And I'll tell you what, starting to worry for yous.
We'll be okay. I have to say, you talk about Devlin. He's a wee shit, but he's one of these wee shits you would love in your team.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He's
don't
like,
mention word shit, John.
Oh, sorry, sorry. Yeah,
Gabs is ready to run out.
Like, you would love Cammy Devlin in your team. And see the boy McEntee. Like, he just does the dirty business. He's big, he's strong, and you know, they're a very,
they're
very
so well
good side.
Yeah. Hearts will keep marching on at the top of the table, 6 points clear at the moment. Obviously, Celtic have got two games in hand. Dundee United 0, Motherwell 0. Motherwell, unbeaten run continues. Dundee United's winless run continues. I mean, a lot of people would have looked at that and thought, Motherwell will do them up there, but that's not the worst result, you know. Clean sheet away from home. They're still up there in third in the table. You know, they're ahead of Rangers at the moment. Clean sheet, you take that?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was always going to be a difficult game. Because Dundee United, they're crying out for a result, aren't they?
Yeah.
Let's be honest about it. Positives, as you say, clean sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant for them. Look, I think teams, and this has been given the respect that they deserve, teams are lining up differently now against Motherwell.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually looking at Motherwell and saying, how can we stop them playing?
Mm-hmm.
You never heard that before in your life. Since this new manager comes in, Falkirk, John McGlynn changed his tactics dramatically, didn't he, John? Against Motherwell.
Oh yeah. 4-2-2-2. He went. Yeah.
Yeah, just to try and stop Motherwell playing, and I think Jim Goodwin done the same. Gabs, to be honest with you, you're right, because Jim had to get a result because
he needed that. You know,
yeah.
Needed something.
And okay, it's a point. When you're at home and you're playing Motherwell, you're probably thinking we should be maybe picking up 3 points here. But I think Dundee United would have been happy with a point against Motherwell. So yeah, they're in a good run, clean sheets. I think that's a right few in a row now.
Yeah.
I would take that 100%.
And Aberdeen 2, Kilmarnock 1, coming from behind the Dons to win at Pittodrie. A few VAR WTF moments that we'll get to in a minute, but Aberdeen have turned it around. You know, there was big pressure on Jimmy Tillian after the shocking end to the league last season, where they were second for so long, finished fifth in the end, obviously won the Scottish Cup on the final day of the campaign, but they're unbeaten in 7 now, 5 of those victories, pushing up the table. And Daz, can you believe this? Aberdeen, after their poor start to the season, are 2 points behind Rangers.
Incredible, isn't it?
2 points behind Rangers.
Yeah. I said a couple of weeks ago, you didn't know what you were going to get with Aberdeen. Mm. Everybody always told me that they're good players. I remember sitting with Big Marv, Livingston had just played them, and Aberdeen were really struggling down the bottom of the league. And I remember Marv saying to me, they'll be okay. They're a decent team. They've got decent players. He says they'll be okay. They're in a false position, and he's true to his word, because as you say, okay, in Europe they're stinking Europe out, but in the league yesterday was especially coming from behind yesterday, and at home to get the result. And the one thing I like about Aberdeen, like a lot of teams now, is their supporters are right behind them. You look at this, the following that they take
great
a
away,
big, big support.
Great away
with
support.
Them.
Kilmarnock, though, struggling down in 11th. Stuart Kettlewell fighting for his life down there, as are these two teams. Livingston 2, Dundee 2. A huge point for Livy coming back to get that. They were 2-0 down in the first half. Oh, speaking to Big Marv yesterday, they were thankful for that point, weren't they?
Oh, you would take that, mate. You would take that. Of course you would, especially 2-0 down. But when you're down... Livy have been very fortunate this season because of the inconsistency of a lot of teams. They've not won a game since, I think, it's August the 9th, I'm round about that.
Mm.
And they're still within touching distance of keeping themselves in that safety zone.
Mm-hmm.
So... and that's down to the fact that other teams, they've been up and down this season. But to come back from 2-2, Dundee will be highly... You go 2-0 up against...
That would have been a huge win for them as well.
And massive.
Do you think that it's now just... I mean, Dundee are only 1 point behind St Mirren, but they've got their hands on silverware. We know what they can do. Do you think it is a three-way battle at the bottom between Dundee, Killy and Livy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I hate to say this because he's listening. I think Falkirk could fall into trap.
Do you? Genuinely?
Yeah.
No.
You're not
I'm telling you, John. No, I'm not at it. And the reason I'm saying that is because you're asking... I don't think they'll have the biggest squad with the biggest quality. You're asking them to go to the well every week.
Mm.
You know, and it's a long season.
Yes.
And we've seen in this league prior... A couple of results, all of a sudden you could go on that wee bad run that just spirals everything, and then you see yourself dropping down the league. You look at Dundee United and all these teams, they were sitting Kilmarnock at the beginning of the season, we're all sitting top mm-hmm. six, sitting up there in fourth and third and everything. All of a sudden they start just dropping down the ladder a little bit. I hope not for John and John McGlynn and...
John's English son as well.
Yeah, John's English boy.
Right, okay. You can slag off Falkirk, but not the English son, okay?
Right, okay. Rangers at home against Hibs tonight. Monday night special, Monday night club.
Looking forward to Monday night club.
And Celtic at Dundee United on Wednesday. Let's quickly run through the other leagues as well. We can ignore Dunfermline because Stephen Mill's not here. No one cares about Dunfermline, do you?
Now you're talking my language.
You're liking about that,
right? Right, yeah.
Right, Dunfermline with a 1-1 draw against Queen's Park. Arbroath 2-1 against our very own Mark Wilson. Airdrie winning 1-0 at Greenock Morton. A United 2, St Johnstone 4. Great win for the Saints, that was. And the big one, Raith Rovers 6, Ross County 0, cost Tony Dock his job.
Yeah, well, we said that on the show on Saturday. We were watching the result coming in. It was getting worse and worse. And then when it gets to 4, you're thinking, ooh, this is a problem for a manager. When it gets to 5, it's a bigger problem. When it gets to 6, there's only one outcome. And I was not surprised at all to hear that news. Look, they've got a massive budget. They've got players that are underachieving on big wages. Let's not be kidding, because it's a manager that pays the price. But they've got players that should not be sitting in 10th and 12 points after 17 games, right? They should not be. So I was not surprised for the chairman to pull the trigger mm-hmm. on the manager. Is Callum Davidson away as well? Has he stayed, John?
I don't know. I'll double check that. But you would
it would be a catastrophe for them if they went down.
I mean, you've got John Robertson and Callum Davidson and Tony Docherty
at
the club. And that squad is unbelievable.
Yeah, but you wonder, I don't know if he'll look at Callum, you know, listen, cup winner, double cup winner. Experience in management.
Rangers for Queen's Park as well.
Yeah, they might look at or Callum's decided to go with Tony Dock because obviously he brought him in. I don't know the situation there. I don't know who he'll take over, but they need somebody in and they need somebody to get them motoring soon. And if you get in, and I'm not saying Tony Dock didn't have it organised, but a wee change, a different voice, different methods. You've got enough good players there to get that going. There's no doubt about that. And they're lucky because obviously Queen's Park are struggling a little bit as well. And then you look at Airdrie, who picked up a good result at Morton. There's 5 points there, so you've still got time to climb. You know, climb the table.
Plenty of time. Not even Christmas yet. But Cam Davidson has gone. Cam Davidson has gone with him as well.
Is he?
Yeah. Right. League One looks like it could be Cali's league to lose, despite that point deduction they had at the start. They're 5 clear at the top. Alloa behind them with Stenhouse Muir and Queen of the South. Just run through the results. Alloa losing 2-0 at home to Queen of the South. Super Cove Rangers losing 1-0 at home to East Fife. Cali 4-0 over Accies. Montrose 3-0 against Steny. And Peterhead 3 against Kelty Hearts 2. Kelty at the bottom. Inverness will surely win that now.
Yeah, they're going well, aren't they? They're going very, very well. Oh,
imagine they got promoted and they got relegated.
I could have went there with the Brazilian World Cup winning team to Inverness and still not got a result.
Why?
I could not beat them at Somerset Park. I could not beat Inverness.
Which Brazil team are you taking? 1970?
Fucking any team. It doesn't matter. Still
losing.
I could go with the Real Madrid team, Zamora, and still probably not get a result there.
Right, League Two, all level at the top. East Kilbride beaten by Dumbarton. Spartans picked up a point against Stirling. 4 draws in the last 5 for the men from Edinburgh. So East Kilbride are just ahead of Spartans on goal difference, with Clyde hot on their tails. Edinburgh City rock bottom. Now don't forget, Super Scoreboard is on tonight, 6 till 8 usual. Let's have all your calls about the weekend's action. Want to hear about St Mirren, Celtic, might be looking ahead to Rangers game, Hearts still at the top of the league, just the usual. 0141 951 1025.
I'm not going to guess, but I think there'll be one show in town tonight.
Do you think?
Oh, I think the phones will light up tonight.
Oh.
And it'll be one subject. So I hope everybody comes on first and foremost and congratulates St Mirren and then go on to their point about Celtic.
Oh, can't wait. Right. Let's do some debatable
La
refereeing
gente
decisions.
Está muy loca. What the fuck?
Love that tune.
It's good, isn't it?
Very good. I used to like that when I was a wee guy. Right, where do we start? We do the cup final. There was nothing really going, was there?
Nah, not a lot. I thought the referee had a quiet game.
Yeah.
You know, which is good because
it's good when we're not talking about referees after a cup final.
Yeah.
The cup final last year, you had the whole, remember the Cherney decision,
yeah,
the 3-3 Rangers Celtic. All
I was
that.
Looking at a couple of things in the cup final, but there's nothing I could really put it this way. It didn't influence the game in any way
or
the result. So, yeah.
Yeah. What we want to see. Well done, the officials. But this is what we want to talk about, the Premiership. Falkirk's loss to Hearts.
See if John comes out with what I think he's got to come out
with. It was a penalty.
I'm going to side with Stephen Mill and think he's a knobhead.
Do you think it was...
Falkirk striker goes round the keeper, Shvalov, smacks it, and Harry Milne, a yard off the line, hits his elbow.
Mate,
but it's inside his butt, so you're not having it.
No, Daz. It's not a penalty kick, mate.
Right, Daz, tell me why Ralston's a few weeks ago in the League Cup semi-final was a penalty then. Because it's the exact same
situation. You're expecting him to remember what that is?
Yeah, when Ralston went down, right, and the ball went... Because Ralston actually stopped... His hands are out, right?
His hands are...
When Ralston went down, his hands were out.
I don't know what Ralston was going to do with his hands other than what he did with them.
Right.
And yet it was ruled off because of apparently the ball was going in and it hit his hand.
Do you think Harry Milne's hand was away from his body?
I have seen a still image, right? He's trying to bring it in, but it's hit his hand.
Mate.
So it's a handball. I spoke to Captain Brad Spencer.
Spencer.
And Calvin Miller after the game, and they said... Referee had a shocking game.
Hold on a minute. Who do they play for?
I know, John. That's not...
Who do they play for?
I know.
They're not going to turn around and say, what a great decision the ref had there.
Well done.
15 seconds. It only took them 15 seconds to decide that was
because
a penalty.
Because it was the right decision. Bollocks.
I do think that one, the difference is to a Ralston or other ones, he was on the line.
Thank you, literally Gabs.
On the line.
Are you going penalty kick?
I'd give a penalty for that.
Yes,
absolutely.
And I like Harry Mill.
Right.
Good Aberdeen boy.
Okay.
But it's just because it was on the line. That's one where I actually feel like it could be...
It doesn't matter. But
it does because that's
hand,
directly stopped a goal.
If you're... But it could have hurt his leg, right? And you go, well, it stopped a goal. It's not as... See if the guy Harry Milne is putting his hand out to stop it, and it's an unnatural position, which is the rules. I agree it's a penalty kick, but his hand's in. He's not making any gesture to stop that with his arm or his hand. It's him.
Right.
That's not a penalty. And plus the fact, before I come on this show every Monday, I have a discussion with a top official in Scotland who works with the VAR as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a good debate this morning. No penalty, play on.
There we have it. Leave your thoughts in the comments below, because I feel like that is a very contentious decision. Let's do other handballs. Aberdeen 2, Kilmarnock 1. There was two in the game. The first penalty awarded against Don's defender Milne for a handball, then gets overruled.
Correct
by VAR.
Decision.
Yeah, correct
decision.
You happy with that? 100%.
Yeah. See, the
we can't have penalties given for that. When there's a melee in the box, the ball's flying around and it accidentally brushes someone's arm.
But the problem is, right, we are seeing it, right? Because as much as I'm saying that I don't think the Hearts one's a penalty kick, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll guarantee you people can go back to games and go, well, why was that given?
Well, that's the Ralston one. Why
right,
was that
as John, yeah, as a Falkirk fan, why is the Ralston one? Right, why is that given? Why is that not given? And I totally agree with that. And I can see all the arguments. I think the handball rule is ridiculous now.
I think with handball, it should only be a penalty if you either A, deliberately handball it, or B, directly stop the ball going into the goal.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it should be an indirect free kick. If they accidentally handball it and it's just in the box, why are you getting a penalty for that? The ball wasn't going to go in. You weren't about to score a goal.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, if it brushes someone's arm and you have to give an indirect free kick, penalties. You got an 85% chance of scoring just because it's brushed someone's arm. And that's where we go on to the next one. Brad Lyons, handball given against him. It's no. Almost the identical incident.
I know. And it's not a penalty kick.
What?
It's not a penalty
Never
kick.
Never a penalty, but they no. get it. The Dons win the game with
that's
a last
the one. Is that the one he ducks and it hits his...
Someone heads it and it hits his arm.
Yeah. He's got his head down. There's not a chance that's a penalty kick for
that's
me.
That's costing Killy 2 points.
Yeah, I felt for them. But I get back to it. I think the handball rule is a free-for-all.
I think
some of them just make up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no consistency.
That's the perfect example.
In the
handball
rule.
In the same game.
There's no consistency. And I understand managers, and especially Kilmarnock, and the pressure they're under and everything.
The VAR was John Beaton as well, so
that was
my beat.
So.
Was it not?
No.
That's what John's written then. We trust in what John said.
Yeah, it was.
The guy that I talked to.
All right, okay.
This boy. Right, nothing really doing in United against Motherwell, 0-0. But Livy 2, Dundee 2, Ryan McGowan sent off in the last minute. He brought down Aqua. Did you see he was trying to claim that it was actually Aqua that had a hold of his shirt?
Great decision.
Yeah, red card every day of the week. And that's when he's got to take that. They could have lost the game. Yeah. You know?
I'll be interested in the comments this week, because I think the officials have basically had no bad weekend. I really do.
Except that Aberdeen Killie game.
And the Hearts Falkirk game.
No, Marse. The Hearts one is not a penalty kick, right? And I think the decision... right enough, the Killie one with the penalty. Mm. Right, that's... But overall, usually there's more than that. Usually there's a cup final we're talking about, all the decisions and everything.
So you'll take that, just a few contentious ones?
Mate, well, you're not going to get it perfect, are you?
I know.
You cannot get it perfect. Referees cannot, and that's where I side with them. You cannot go through all these games, the pace of the game, everything that's happening, all the rules and regulations, and get every single decision spot on. I think we've had a good week. Well done, the refs.
Gordon DL loves refs, hates goalkeepers. Right. Let's play what I've been looking forward to the most. Who Dares Wins. You ready for this?
Do.
Love that tune.
I'm good at this, mate.
I know.
Surprisingly good at this.
Depends the subject, John.
Have you been giving him answers, John? Because he is doing alarmingly well. I know what you're like. You'll cheat if you can.
I would cheat if I can, yeah.
So is John teeing you up? No. You're beating Stephen every week.
No, Stephen beat me last week on this.
Did he?
Yeah, I think
he,
so.
Oh, no, I know. Stephen got beat last week. I remember he messed up. It was the who Scotland.
It's not
to do
me, is it?
Well,
Stephen had messed up.
Stephen messed up last
week. Right, John, come on, John.
Right, okay, gentlemen. I have got a list in front of me. And that list is, since the year 2000, 18 managers have won the League Cup. But how many can you name?
The
since
League Cup?
Since the year 2000, 18 managers have won the League Cup. But how many can you name?
Who goes first?
Daz, we'll give you Ben first.
18 have won the League Cup. Right, okay. I'll probably name six.
Six says Daz. Gabriel.
I don't think I've got seven in me.
Seriously, mate. Right.
18.
Yeah.
I just feel like Brendan Rodgers has won them all in the last 10 years.
Are you shitting it?
Literally.
Yeah, you're going to let Daz go for six?
Nah, I feel like.
Shite bag, come on.
I'll do seven.
You go seven.
Go on, name my man.
I should have left it.
You fell right in.
Oh, you were done like a kipper, Gabs. Done like a kipper. Right.
You too, teeing
it. Hey, brilliant. I will not even touch that.
Okay, Gabs.
I've only got my pen in my hand. Right. How long do I get?
You get as long as you want. No, you don't get 30 seconds in this one, Dad. You get as long as you want.
Right, okay. Stephen Robinson.
Stephen Robinson, correct.
Brendan Rodgers.
Brendan Rodgers. There we go.
Philippe Clement.
Philippe Clement. There you go. The second last person.
Seven's easy, mate.
Aye, seven is easy.
How many won? Three.
I just thought
you've got three. You've got only
Postecoglou.
Postecoglou, yeah. This is, I mean, Daz, you could have
Neil Lennon.
Yeah. Post won the treble.
How many I got?
Four. You've got five. You've only got two more to get.
I've made an arse of this. I should have stretched.
Derek McInnes for the Dons.
Derek McInnes, yeah. There you go.
I'm struggling now.
Seriously,
you are joking. Mate, just, me.
I get the League Cup mixed up with the Scottish Cup all the time.
You are joking.
I think so. I think that could be the last six. Is that are they the most recent six?
No.
Shut up, John. Come on, Dennis.
Oh, Callum Davidson.
You
get him.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe I bluffed
well
you.
Done.
What?
Maybe
well
I bluffed
done.
You.
Oh, I would. Have, who else are there?
Yeah, you go on, Daz. Right. See if you can pick up another couple.
Well, Danny Lennon won it, didn't he?
Danny Lennon, of course.
Oh, yeah, I would have got that.
Who's the manager of Kilmarnock when...
Ah, that's a tough one. Yeah. That's good. Yeah, you're right, though.
Who's the manager of Kilmarnock?
Has a son that played football.
Shields.
Aye, Shields. Yeah.
Nice.
Hold on, many's that?
That's, I mean, we've
that's
got
another two on top of that.
This is nine more. Did Van Bronckhorst win it?
No, he won
the Scottish Cup.
Scottish Cup. Right, okay. Hold on.
You're missing a whole bunch of old firm managers.
But those are the most recent ones, aren't they? We haven't missed
Neil
any.
Neil Lennon.
Did
you? Sorry.
There's two Lennons.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
What about like Strachan?
Strachan, yeah.
McLeish.
McLeish, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I don't know. So well. Oh, we could have got more than seven.
Yeah, of course you could have.
I thought you shit it.
I was just getting nervous.
Oh, no.
Right, go on. See if you can...
Hold on.
You're missing O'Neill. Two obvious... Yeah, there's one, and another obvious old firm manager that won it.
Advocate.
Walt Smith.
Walt Smith. And there's one more old firm manager out of the list.
Why did I not get Martin O'Neill? Because he won it. Oh, no, Don. What?
It's from 2000.
Yeah, Alec McLeish won it against me.
Yeah.
One more. Is it Celtic or Rangers, John?
It is Celtic.
O'Neill, Stryker. Mowbray didn't win it, did he?
Nah.
No, he didn't win again.
Didn't
win
at all. Who are we missing?
You're missing, come on.
For Celtic?
Aye.
Oh, Ronnie Dyla.
Ronnie Dyla. There you are.
That was one of the
other ones a bit tougher. In fact, one more Celtic manager, actually. You missed the number one in the list, 2000. March 2000, he won the League Cup.
That was Martin O'Neill's year.
I was only three.
It was before Martin O'Neill.
Yeah, because he came in 2000, just after then.
It wasn't Tommy Burns.
No.
He was 94. Who was in between then?
John Barnes was in between.
Yeah, you go. You're almost there with it.
Fenglos?
No.
John Barnes?
It was Kenny Dalglish won it with Celtic. And then the other ones, you're really struck with that. Livingston, if I give you Livingston, who was the manager from Livingston?
Nah. Hold on, the manager was, it wasn't Hopkins, it wasn't Gary Holt.
Celtic player, a bit of a Celtic legend.
Don't tell us.
I know his niece. Great clue.
Celtic player. Wasn't it Lambert?
Was it 2005 or something, was it?
Wasn't it Lambert?
I'll give you it, boy.
Go on.
Davey Hay.
Hibs.
Stubbs on the Scottish Cup. Finland?
No, is that the one David Gray scored? 4-3, is that Scottish Cup.
Who was it?
John Collins.
Oh, sure was. I remember that. I was at the game.
And then the last one you really would have struggled with. I'm just trying to... I can't even remember what team he won it with.
Go on.
Just out of management recently, and he won it with... It
Levine.
Must have been, what's that?
Levine?
He was... Well, of course it was. Ross County manager, when Ross County won it in 2015, 2016.
Ross County manager won it in... Yogi?
No, Jim McIntyre.
Jim McIntyre.
There you go. But good well done, for. Gabs. Well done.
Seven.
Could have got way more than that.
Yeah, easy.
Can't believe you took that bait, Dad.
I did. I jumped off the top.
Right. Masked footballer.
Yeah.
I really don't know how this one works, Daz. You're going to have to guide me through this.
Well, we have to ask a question each, and if we get a... then we're knackered.
So yeah, out of questions. So you get a question each, Gabs.
What do we know
you
so far,
you can keep
far,
asking
John?
Questions. If they keep saying aye, you keep getting asked to ask questions. Right?
What, if they keep saying no?
If they say no, you're done.
Yeah.
You're done. But if they say aye, you can ask another question.
What have we got so far?
Because he's not an international, he's not playing anymore, he's not managed a team, and he's not a goalkeeper.
That is all the facts you know so far.
He's not an international, he's not a goalkeeper, he's not managed.
And he's not playing anymore.
This'll go forever,
right.
This one.
Okay. Do you do media work?
Do you do media work?
Yeah, punditry and stuff like that.
No.
So that's your question done, Dad.
That noise is so stupid. So he's not a pundit either.
No.
And so I've just got one question to ask
you. You can ask it. If he says aye, you can ask another one, Gabs.
Okay. You a midfielder?
Oh, you've just got to go.
No.
So there you go.
So he's
dumb.
No goalie, he's a midfielder.
Yeah.
So he's either an ex defender or a forward.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, John.
That's correct. That is completely correct. Well
right,
done.
Okay.
I was just banking on him being a midfielder and I could ask another question.
There you go.
Right, so that runs on for another week.
Yeah, another week gone. And this will take this. Trust me, this one will be. Oh, you'll be on it for ages, this one. But anyway, well, we'll play the quiz.
Let's play the quiz.
Right, Daz has been doing very well at this, Gabs.
Oh, look, he's cheating, that's why.
He's doing very,
how
very
can I
well
cheat,
at
mate?
He'll give you the answers or something.
Why would he give me the answers?
He did that for ages on the Saturday show.
You're representing
Stephen. Right, so why do I need this?
You're representing Stephen, right? So you need the
board.
Could you write
it down?
So you need to write down your answer, Gabs, you see?
Right, okay.
So write it down on your board and then you can wipe it off. There's whites below you, Gabs, that you can use. Right, okay, it's currently 10-9. You're representing Stephen, so it's 10-90 Stephen because Daz has been on the comeback.
What, 10-9 over the last weeks? Not
Yeah, the last few weeks and Daz has won the last three, I think. So
come on.
Yeah, here we go. So penalty shootout style. Just answer the questions
you can
as
go
they
top bin
come.
If you
You've
want.
Got 30 Aye. Seconds to answer the question, and you have a top bin question, which is worth 2 points. You can shout for that
at
any point you want. Okay, do you understand the rules, Gabs?
I believe so. Let's
smash
go for
it. Right, let's go. Right, okay. Right, first question. Before yesterday, who was the last St Mirren captain to lift the League Cup? Write down your answer.
It's not a race, no?
It's not a race, no.
I've got terrible handwriting.
Sure, that, mate, sure, don't worry about it.
Okay.
Right.
We're good?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got it.
And what do we do?
The timer, right? Sure. Okay, that's fine. Right, okay. Gabs, who have you written down?
Can you see it in the camera?
Fucking hell, that is terrible,
that
is, mate.
What does that even say?
It's Jim Goodwin.
Mate.
Is it, right, Gabs, that's what you've written down.
Which school did you go to?
Yeah, Jim Goodwin, there we go.
Right.
You're a journalist, Gabs. Are you meant to have...
I never write.
Jesus.
The modern era.
Man.
I failed shorthand. I just used my phone.
Do you know I've got a degree in journalism?
No one would fucking believe that.
You failed shorthand.
Yeah, the class was on a Thursday morning.
And
I always used to go out
and
call
yourself a journalist.
Mate, Jesus Christ. I wouldn't like a Christmas card for you. That's ridiculous.
Mate, so you're going to have to write wedding cards. My girlfriend's embarrassed to go with me because I'm horrendous.
Going with a 3-year-old.
I know.
Right, okay, next question. How many teams in the SPFL have City in their title?
Do you know it?
No.
That's right. Have City.
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 This is what you do on Beat the Pundit, Daz. You just repeat the...
I know, when he's
But you've only got 30 seconds.
Are you talking about the play
in
a city?
No, they don't play in a city. They have City in the title.
Okay.
Right. Gab's got an answer. Get some down, Daz. Get some down, Daz. Get some down, Daz.
I've got some down.
Right, okay, have you? Right, okay then.
That's
right.
Four. Can you read that?
Yeah. Right, Gabs, you've got written down four, yeah. Right? Daz, what have you written down?
I've just went one.
Right, Gabs, yeah. Tell me your four City teams.
I only had three and I was just guessing I'd missed one.
Okay.
Elgin City. Edinburgh City. Brechin City.
Brechin City's not in the league.
Are they out of the league?
They're not in the league, they're in the Highland League.
Oh, fuck, they're down.
Yes. I went two.
How many is it?
Elgin City and Edinburgh City are the only two cities.
So he went for one!
There's two. Elgin City and Edinburgh City. So you're both, but you both messed up.
Oh, right, yeah, it's not closer.
It's not close as two, no. Oh, it's all right, okay.
Hold on a minute. I couldn't remember Elgin City.
Yeah. So I have that argument with people all the time.
One apiece. Yeah. And it's Daz's favourite round. It's the say what you see round, right?
I hate this, mate.
So in the minute, a picture is going to appear on the screen. You basically got to tell me what football.
See, there's a Simpson there. I'm going
there's
to
not
a
Simpson this week. So you based on the pictures, you've got to guess the name of the footballer. And it's like, I'll give you a clue.
It is
a current footballer. Okay. Are you ready for this week? Say what you see.
Yeah.
Here we go. Here's your footballer, and your time starts now.
What the fuck is that? What is that, John? I can't even see that.
So on the screen now, there is a man with a bit of grey hair, and there is a dragon.
Who is he?
Who is he? See if you get who that is.
He's never gonna. Yeah,
I'm never getting him.
He's an author.
Of horror books.
Oh my god, you're giving it away here, Gabs.
Mate, I'm not giving it away. You think he knows who that is?
I have no idea.
Author of horror books that are made into films.
Right, time's up.
Let's see what you've written.
What you go first?
No, because I've got it right.
No, you've not.
Right, show us your answer, Daz.
Show us your answer.
Show us your answer, Daz.
I've written
the answer.
Show us
your answer, Daz.
Somebody slay. I don't know.
You know what? You were almost there. You were almost there, but it's no someone slay. Right, Gabs, what's your answer?
Stephen Kingsley.
Stephen Kingsley.
Stephen King.
Slay.
Oh, I've got Slee. But I don't know him.
I know Stephen King.
I told you he wouldn't get it if I told him.
There we go.
Was.
It is 2-1 to Gabs. Well done, Gabs.
You shit. I hate these things.
Next question. Here we go. Who were the last team to come up via the Premiership via the playoff? Who were the last team to come up to the Premiership via the playoff? That's an easy one, isn't it? Too easy, that.
Yeah. I got it.
You've got it.
Go.
Right. No, don't wait for it yet, Gabs.
He's got it as well. Has he written it down?
What have you said, Daz?
Livy.
Both had Livy.
There you go.
You need a top bin, son.
No, I don't.
3-2. Now, we are going to the last question, Daz, right? So you need to hope that Gabs is going to mess this question up. Otherwise,
is that a hard question?
What's that? It's just a normal question. Do you want to go for your top bin and put the pressure on Gabs?
No, because if I get a top bin wrong, I'm beat.
Aye.
Come on, big man. Hold your nerve. You didn't take a penalty in the 1994 League Cup final.
But I captain, I scored, mate.
Why did you come off?
I was injured.
Oh, I thought you played through the pain.
They went for the best player. Right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go top bin.
You could go top bin, right? Okay, lose this, and Gabs wins on his debut. Right, okay. Your question is this, Gordon DL. How many league appearances did you make for Man City? How many league appearances did you make for Man City? This is the facts I've
league
got.
Appearances.
League appearances.
A league?
Yes, league appearances.
Well, it started at Chelsea, Stamford Bridge. I was magnificent.
Was that when Bobby Ball was your coach?
Yeah, Eddie Ladd.
Eddie Ladd, sorry. I can't always Eddie Ladd was your coach. It's an incredible story.
Right, come on, you're written something down.
I've got it.
Right, okay, write it down then, Daz. Write
yep,
it down.
Got
write
it
down, write it down. Okay.
Is that it?
You've went for five. Man City legend, in your own words, in your own head, only played five times for Man City.
I thought I would have gone like at least 30.
He's right though. Five times the Dazzler played for Man City.
Wow!
Add the pressure.
Oh, if I was you, I'd have lied to make
right,
it sound bad.
Gabs.
Mate, it's five times more than you. You're just about to run into that toilet and shit yourself. You need this for an equaliser.
Yeah. So can't I play a top bin to win it?
You could play a play a top bin and if to win it. Or you can go for the equalizer and rely on the tiebreak. And we all
God
know how terrible that tiebreak.
Nah, he's so bad.
No, I'd seen that last week.
What about you winning the tiebreaker with the boy the other day?
3,400.
Yeah.
Come on, go top Ben.
I was killing myself. Right, go top Ben.
Oh, you go top Ben? Yeah. There we go. Right, okay.
Another victory for the Dazzler.
With your Italian heritage, obviously we've discovered that you are English, so Gabs. With your Italian heritage, though, who is currently top of Serie B?
Ah, that's Opie! Great question, John.
How is that as hard as that's nothing like his question?
Oh, that is brilliant.
How many times did you play for Man City?
John, the Serie B.
I thought with your Italian heritage, you'd be.
See, when he said Serie A, I was like, that's a tapping.
I know, that's a tapping. Serie A was a tapping, that's for Serie B.
Come on, mate. Hey, 30 seconds, John.
It's 30 seconds, go. I've never even heard of this team.
Yeah, that's not
another victory for a Dazzler.
Oh, you're in down. Pisa.
Pisa shit.
Who is it?
It is Frosinone.
Frosinone.
John, another victory. Just out of curiosity.
Yeah.
What was his easy one to take it to tie break?
Name the other championship team looking for their third full-time manager this season.
As opposed to Ross County?
Yeah.
I know it. Morton.
Airdrie's the right answer.
Get that right.
Airdrie's the right answer.
No, they're just looking for their second, aren't they?
Yeah, they're just looking for a second.
Or third.
Aye, third full-time manager. Yeah.
What was the tie break?
I'm just playing it out now. The tie break was, what is the capacity of the Gillette Stadium where Scotland will be playing? What is the capacity of
Foxborough.
The Gillette Stadium?
Hold on. Is it near it? Do you know the exact answer?
Roughly. I was watching it last night. Pat's Bills.
Is it nearest to?
Yeah.
Right, write it down.
Are you right then?
Right, what's the answer, John?
Right, what have you written down?
76,800.
66. Gabs would have got the Champions League music again. It's 64,628, and that's just standing. There you go.
I would have got them both right and won.
There we go.
Stephen will be really disappointed. Yeah,
so, what's that? 10-10?
Yep.
It's 10-10. The Dazzler has levelled it up.
Oh, he's levelled it up, and you've buckled for Stephen Mill, but that's his finisher. Well done, Gabs. You did fantastic.
Thank you for having me, boys.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it. I got through the start of the show, and I've not needed to go for a toilet break either.
Well, that'll be next year. Go and check yourself after getting beaten in the quiz.
I'll be running off now.
Certainly running.
And also, I'll be getting a wee sausage roll and a tomato soup, all right?
Greg's tomato soup, yep. Sausage roll, dippy in, beautiful.
Okay. Thank you very much to everyone for listening to the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Pay attention through the week. I'll have a photo of Gordon DL at 2 a.m. on Thursday night eating chips with an ice cream from McDonald's.
McFlurry.
Easy days. Don't forget, we'll be back next week. Stephen Mill will return. And there's, of course, Super Scoreboard every day this week. Bye-bye.